On the heels of Thanksgiving, we've thrown around the word gratitude quite a bit lately. The word gratitude means well, I'm sure. But as is the case with many a word in our language, it's been used, overused, misused, expanded, and suddenly it seems a little bit vague and not as meaningful as such a word ought to be. What's worse, there seems to be a sense that the notion of living with gratitude is only for a goody-two-shoes type, or a person somehow completely out of touch with reality, looking at the world through rose-colored glasses and not facing anything realistically. Further, perhaps some of us feel like it seems too much work in an already busy and sometimes overwhelming world to have just another thing to worry about. Which is really not great news, especially now, at a time when the world moves at lightning speed and we're bombarded with information and things competing for our attention most of the day. Doesn't the idea of living a life filled with joy and gratitude seem at least kind of satisfying? Sure it does, but I bet half of you just rolled your eyes at your radio thinking, sure, but that's easier said than done. And I don't disagree, but is it really true? Tonight, that's what we're going to explore. The what, the why, the how of gratitude. Not only honing in on exactly what it means and what it looks like, but also the science behind why it's even a thing in our brains at all, and how, in very practical terms, to bring it into our lives in a way that really matters. I'm Amy Guth, and that's all coming up on the Saturday Night Special on 720 WGN.
Live from the biggest small town in America.
This is WGN Chicago, radio home of millions throughout mid-America.
And radio, well, radio became the Pied Piper to a strange new world.
Voting is what I got.
Time to climb up on our big shoulders and get inside our massive heart.
This is the Saturday Night Special with Amy Guth.
Tonight's show, my friends, is all about gratitude, a word that has gotten, I think we can all agree, a bit murky and overused. We're going to look at what gratitude is, first and foremost, and what it does to our brains and why we might really need it more than we realize. We're also going to look at very doable and meaningful ways to practice gratitude in our lives and what that can expand in our lives when we do. And we'll look at why it is important in the first place. To do that right, we'll be joined by an esteemed panel of experts. Clinical social worker and writer Sharon Martin will join us, as will evolutionary biologist and associate professor of psychology Deborah Lieberman, and life coach and therapist Kevin Overhausen will all be here with us. Producer Rachel Woodall will be the voice on the other end of the line when you call us tonight at 312-981-7200. But if you're feeling a little bit radio shy, that's perfectly okay. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook and contribute to the conversation in that way too. My friends, we will be right back to get this conversation underway about gratitude here on 720 WGN. It's the Saturday Night Special. I'm Amy Guth. Thanks for being with us and sharing part of your Saturday with me. I'm most grateful to you for that. And as I say that every week, this week in particular is all about gratitude and all about being grateful. We are going to be talking with a lot of experts tonight. Even though we have a short show, everybody's coming together to kind of squish together to give you a full show in an hour instead of 2 hours tonight. A little bit later in the program, we'll be talking with life coach Kevin Overhausen and evolutionary biologist Deborah Lieberman. That's all coming up here in a bit after news. But right now, we're joined by Sharon Martin, who is a licensed clinical social worker. And you can read more about her at SharonMartinCounseling.com. And she also writes for Psych Central. She writes a piece called Happily Imperfect, and it's really all about kind of embracing who you are, imperfections and all, and just really living a life of self-acceptance. But I came across her work when I was looking at pieces about gratitude. And I initially saw something she had written on Psych Central about practicing gratitude all year long and not just at Thanksgiving, which I think is very, very important. So I knew this was a voice that I wanted on the program. Hi, Sharon. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Hi, Amy. Thanks so much for having me.
Certainly. Thanks for being with us. Well, you've written so much about gratitude and many related topics on Psych Central, and I wish we could talk about them all, really. But I'm very, very interested in two pieces in particular. One about how to practice gratitude all year long that you wrote a while back. And then there was another one that is very interesting that you wrote more recently about practicing gratitude when you're feeling discouraged, which I think is very interesting. But before we go there, I think I want to take a little bit of time and really think about that word. And because I think it's a word that we lose sight of, that word gratitude. It's expanded, it's contracted, it's been a lot of things, and sometimes it's a bit misused and overused. How do you define gratitude in the work that you do?
Well, I just really think about it as an attitude that one can take in purposefully looking for things that are good. So things that you are grateful for, and just a wider look at things with, like I said, an intention of trying to sort of scan your life, your world, the people around you for things that, you know, are uplifting and make you feel good and, you know, that bring something positive to your life. It's very easy to get stuck on all of the problems and, you know, the things that aren't working. And those are very real. And this is what I really love about gratitude is that it doesn't mean that the negatives don't exist. It just means that at the same time that we can acknowledge that we have problems and we have struggles, we can also look for the things that are working for us and that are bringing us some joy, or like I said, making our lives easier or better in some way.
Definitely. And I think that there seems to be like there's a little bit of resistance from people on that one, like, oh, it seems like so much work to do. But I've got to think that it's something that as you, if you want to step up the level of gratitude that you practice, it seems like it's something that would be fairly habit building, that you would, maybe it would be something you'd have to really work at staying on top of at first, but it seems like it would expand and kind of fold into your life pretty quickly. Do you find that to be the case in your practice?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And you know, I think ultimately it's actually something that's really accessible to people. You know, like if I think about all of the different, you know, strategies that I might work with a client on, you know, that are much more complicated, you know, psychological or behavior change interventions, you know, gratitude is something that everybody can do. And we can teach it to our children very easily as well. I mean, sometimes actually they, you know, sort of get the concept and can do it more easily. You know, they pick up things, you know, really quickly. But it's simple. It doesn't need to be complicated. You don't need to read books about it. You know, don't need to buy equipment to do it. You know, it's something that all you need to do is have the intention, make a plan, you know, and then have some accountability, right? I mean, these are things that, you know, are sort of the cores of all kinds of, you know, habits or, you know, behavior change. But, you know, ultimately, it's really not any more difficult to bring into your life than brushing your teeth every day.
Right, right. It's just a matter of getting in the habit of doing it. The piece that you wrote on Psych Central called How to Practice Gratitude When You're Feeling Discouraged, I think is especially powerful because I think that's probably when we need it the most, is when we're really feeling bummed out or we're feeling very overwhelmed or, you know, something has just happened that just threw us off course or something like that. And there's it's a wonderful piece. You guys go find it. It's at Psych Central, written by our guest, Sharon Martin. But there is a bullet point in there. There are two that really stick out. But the first one I want to talk about is it says gratitude brings us back to the present. Can you expand on that a bit?
Sure. You know, so all that, you know, we need to do when we're talking about being grateful is simply, you know, right here, right now, is think really small. You know, and I think this is the thing is that we, you know, we tend to think that it needs to be more complicated than it is. Everybody can right here in this moment, literally around the space that they're in and find something that they feel grateful for. And you can do this throughout the day, you know, as you are going about your normal activities, just slow down a little bit and notice what you have or what you're doing or who you are with that is positive, you know, and it doesn't have to be all the time. It can just be in this moment right now. And that's all that, you know, mindfulness is. I think, you know, people, again, kind of get, you know, the idea that mindfulness needs to be something that's complicated and difficult, and it's not. It really is just tuning in to what is going on right in this moment.
Certainly. And you take that a step further, which is the next bullet point in this list I want to talk about that I think is really fun. And that is, you've created this gratitude challenge. And the idea is to take, you picked 14 days to answer the question, I am grateful for blank. And you've given some prompts there, things like something in nature, a particular person, something you can see, something you've done to help others, things like that, which I think is really fun and probably would help jumpstart that habit, to build that habit of mindfulness and gratitude in your life.
Exactly. And that's my intention with it, is just to give people a place to start. You know, going back to that idea that, you know, we're having, you know, a lot of challenges, you know, as a country. There's a lot of divisiveness. There's a lot of, you know, sadness and fear and concern about what's going on, you know, and that's sort of the large text that we're living in. But I think, you know, some of that negative energy really seeps in for people, and they feel that. And then, of course, we all have our own little personal life that we're living, you know, as well. So, you know, with these 14 prompts, it just gives you a place to start, you know.
Well, and
you can expand it from there.
Yeah. And as you point out, at this time in the country, it is, you know, no matter how you voted, I think we can all agree we have a lot of work to do. And a lot of people are really stressed out and feeling concerned about what's ahead for us. And I think now is a great time to really try to kind of flex your gratitude muscles and think about gratitude, because I think now is when we need it the most, when it seems hard to think about what we're grateful for.
Yeah, exactly. As we're, you know, in this Thanksgiving season, I think the other barrier that sometimes people come up against is the notion that, you know, it's sort of like, I should feel grateful. And there's this sort of expectation that you put on yourself that you have to feel a certain way. And that isn't necessarily what comes natural to people, you know, and that's part of why I wrote that piece, is that you can try to feel more grateful, but you can also feel any other assortment of feelings that you're having at the same time. And it doesn't have to be a one or the other. And it doesn't mean that, you know, gratitude is not going to solve all of your problems and make everything better for you. It's not like some magic, you know, pill that you can take to fix everything. But little by little, with that practice and, you know, that habit building that you were talking about, it can slowly start to shift your thinking just bit by bit, day by day, by bringing in more of it. And, you know, what I have found myself in doing this is that eventually it just becomes automatic, you know, mm-hmm. that it no longer needs to be something that you intentionally try to do. I mean, that's where you start with any kind of, you know, change or habit building approach. But eventually it just becomes sort of your new normal, your new way of thinking, and you just automatically take in the good stuff. You know, like I said, the bad stuff sort of still exists over there, but it helps balance it out, you know, and it makes some of the negatives feel a little bit more manageable, a little bit more doable. And that can be motivating for people too. It just gives you that, you know, some hope, I think, to be able to see it's not all bad. It's not entirely, you know, problem focused.
Sure, sure. I love your take on all this. Everybody, head to Psych Central and you can follow all the writing. I think you said 2 or 3 times a week you're writing there at Psych Central. So there's lots and lots of stuff from our guest, Sharon Martin, emotional wellness speaker, writer, and licensed psychotherapist. Go to Psych Central to read all her stuff, and also look for her book. She's author of a book called Setting Boundaries Without Guilt, a workbook to move you from doormat to empowerment, which is possibly the best subtitle I've heard in a while. That's an excellent one. Sharon, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Oh, thank you so much, Amy. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. All right. Have a great night. All right, my friends, we're going to take a little break and get you to news in just a bit, and then be back to continue this conversation all about gratitude. Back in just a bit on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth. This is the Saturday Night Special. Thanks for being with us tonight. We're talking all about gratitude tonight. And I think we can all agree that that is a word that's gotten a little convoluted. I think it's thrown around a lot and it's kind of vague what it really means. Is it just about being thankful? Or is there more to it? Our next guest says, absolutely, there's more to it. There's a lot more to it. And I think all of our guests would agree that there is really a lot more nuance to the word gratitude than we might think. It is really a very powerful word. So we welcome to the program now Deborah Lieberman, who is an evolutionary psychologist and associate professor of psychology at University of Miami. Deborah, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Hi, Amy.
Thanks so much for being with us tonight. I appreciate you taking part of your Saturday to join us. So your approach to the topic of gratitude is a little bit different because I think sometimes it's all kind of rose-colored glasses and just, chin up and look on the bright side. But you're looking at it in a much more scientific way. Tell us about your approach, if you will.
Sure. So in general, I'm interested in the evolution of the human brain, in particular, the software side. So you can think of it, neuroscientists tend to focus on the hardware, the brain. I'm more interested in the software, the programs that run on our neural circuits. And emotions are one type of program, a piece of software engineered not by man, but by natural selection because it performed a function in ancestral times that somehow increased our chances of surviving and reproducing. And there's examples from very different emotions, right? So disgust keeps us away from contamination, love motivates care. And the question that I've been asking is, what is gratitude? Did it evolve to perform some function? And some of the clues to what gratitude is comes when you think about the situations when we show gratitude. So we tend to show gratitude when someone helps us. They do something that we perceive as beneficial, certainly not harmful. And when the act of help was intended, not accidental. And so together with some colleagues of mine at UM, we've proposed that gratitude is actually a critical emotion in the development of cooperation because it seems to be linked to helping and cooperation. And one of the roles that we think gratitude plays is that it's a signal. So when you do something nice for someone and they express gratitude, thank you so much, that's a signal that they valued your action and that not only that they valued your action, but they might be inclined to help you should the opportunity arise in the future. And contrast this with when you do something nice for someone and they don't express anything. There's no thanks, there's no eye contact, there's no facial expression. We take it as quite rude. And it basically means they didn't find our action very valuable at all.
That's a very, very good point. I think a lot of times that plays out with strangers a bit, right? When we think of holding a door, or if we bump into somebody, oh, I'm so sorry, excuse me, oh, no, it's fine. You know, the polite things we say as opposed to if someone bumps into you or slams a door in your face or something like that, it seems like we're really offended, even if they're a stranger. So that's very interesting how you describe it, like a signal.
Yeah, so I think we've all been in a situation where we've held the door open for a stranger and they don't even turn to no peep, right? So they don't say thank you. They don't do anything. And if there's another set of double doors, chances are we're not going to hold the door for them on that second set.
Right.
But if a stranger says thank you so much, chances are we will.
So it veers into, it seems like the step, if you take a hard right away from expressing gratitude in this context, it seems like it quickly is like punishing someone for behaving with some kind of entitlement almost.
Yeah. So the person who doesn't say thank you, it's almost like they expected you to deliver that benefit. You know, they expect you to, serve them in some way. They don't feel that it's necessary for them to show you that they value you. And so we think that gratitude is all about showing that we value other people. And this is one important step in jumpstarting cooperative relationships, but more importantly, friendships.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And so in your work and the way that you're approaching this idea of gratitude, where is it that you see humans getting it right the most, and where do we get it wrong the most, or in terms of doing it wrong or doing it in a way that is counterproductive for us?
Well, let's see. Well, we get it right when we show our manners, right? So that when we do express gratitude and we do show that other people are of value. I would say, not, you know, being rude is obviously a place where we get it wrong. But when we, there is a difference between genuinely felt gratitude, you know, having your hand over your heart or tipping your hat, versus, you know, gratitude, just gee, thanks. So I think that, you know, how we express things is just as important as whether we express them.
Certainly. And you've talked a little bit, too, about the role that familiarity plays in gratitude, which I find really fascinating. Could you explain that a bit?
Sure. Well, I think that who you know and how close you are to them affects how grateful you are. So you might imagine, just to use this holding the door example again, you know, if your sister's in front of you holding the door, you know, you might not expect, you know, you might not, she might not expect you to say, thank you so much for holding the door for me. And you might not even thank her. But for a stranger, it's very different. So it looks as if gratitude, you get more gratitude when someone helps you and it's unexpected. And with family, because we're so close and we value each other so much more than with strangers, we just expect more from the relationship. And so it's just rare that gratitude is expressed in as strong a way as it is sometimes even for strangers. So, you know, your parents give you a little bit of money for the holidays or buy you a little gift. It's thanks. But if a stranger did that, it'd be like, wow, thanks. You didn't have to do that. That was really unexpected. And so I think that we do act very differently towards strangers than towards friends and close family.
That is very interesting. It's like the stakes have to be so much higher for that gratitude to register. Very close to someone. They have to outdo themselves again and again, right? That is very interesting.
Yes.
And what about the although, like, the, as you said, the hardware of the brain is not the part you're focusing on in your work, more the software. What is the benefit to the brain or to our emotions when we are practicing gratitude and we're doing it well?
So I think clinical psychologists have got it right, that practicing gratitude can be very helpful. So when you think about the things that you're most grateful of in your life, it really emphasizes, it brings to mind all of the important social relationships, the relationships of value or the things that you value in your life. And that can certainly bring someone out of a funk, for instance. There's been a lot of research done, particularly at UC Berkeley, at the Greater Good Science Center, that's focusing a lot on gratitude, showing that there are really beneficial effects of, you know, writing about being grateful and thinking about being grateful.
Certainly. And what about times when it's very difficult? I think right now a lot of people, on the heels of the election and as we're moving into holidays, a lot of people are talking about a lot of stress, and it's very easy to become kind of immersed in relatively negative mindset. I think that's when we seem to need gratitude, the practice of gratitude, the most. How do we go there, and how can we kind of hack our own brains to go there when it's the most difficult?
Well, I mean, it could always be much worse. Yeah. So that's one way to think about it. So regardless of whether you're happy, for instance, with the election or not, I mean, it could always be worse. And so we could always be grateful that, look, we live in a wonderful country. We have a lot of, there are so many things that we get in this country that other people living in other places don't get. And so we do have a lot to be grateful for, regardless of who's steering the ship.
Very true. It can always, always be worse. We have an expert on philanthropy that comes on this program very often, and she says, you know, even if you are having great financial difficulties, anyone can commit an act of philanthropy, even if it's a smile or a kind word. And I think that applies to gratitude, too, that there's always a way to look at an upside, even when it's very hard.
Yes, absolutely. I agree 100%.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. Where can people find out more about the work you're doing and follow along with all of your research and all of that good stuff?
Sure. So at the University of Miami Department of Psychology website, they can find out more of the research me and my colleagues are doing on gratitude and a whole host of other wonderful topics.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Deborah Lieberman, evolutionary psychologist and associate professor of psychology at University of Miami. Thanks so much for being with us tonight. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks.
All right, my friends, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're talking with life coach and therapist Kevin Oberhausen about the practical nuts and bolts way of how to bring gratitude into our lives. We've been talking about it all night, but now we're going to talk about how to actually do it in a way that really expands our lives and creates a lot of good. So we'll be right back in just a bit on 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth, and this is the Saturday Night Special. Thank you for being with us tonight. I'm most grateful to you for spending part of your Saturday evening here with me. And the topic is gratitude. All night tonight, we have been talking about gratitude, but not in the way that you might think. We've been really talking about it in terms of the science behind it. What is really happening in our brains when we practice it and when we don't practice it? What's happening in our relationships when we're appropriately practicing gratitude or failing to do so, and really why it's important. But my next guest is life coach and therapist Kevin Oberhausen, and he's here to talk with us a little bit about the practical ways to manifest that in our lives and bring gratitude in and really make it a practice, make it a verb, not a noun, as you would. That's really what we're here to talk about. Welcome to the program, Kevin.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for having me.
Certainly. Thanks for being with us. Well, we've been talking a lot about gratitude tonight in a lot of different ways. And I would like to start really by talking a bit about how it manifests in your practice as you're working with clients and your approach to gratitude in particular.
Yeah. So with my clients, a lot of times it's to help them keep track of their successes, as well as to help them develop a success mindset or a mindset that will help them to attract or achieve their dreams, especially with getting rid of resistance. Gratitude's a great way to kind of get yourself out of the way and get your junk out of the way when you're trying to achieve something.
Right, right, because we all have ways that we sometimes sabotage ourselves and our goals, and we have to kind of outthink that sometimes. And so you're saying that gratitude is a good way to help us be in the right mindset to do that.
Yep.
Right, right. And so what about the accountability piece of that? My first guest tonight was talking a bit about kind of ways to be accountable and some of the work that she does in that area. And she mentioned like a gratitude challenge of challenging yourself. But how do you build that habit and be accountable both to yourself and to the people in your lives when you're working on bringing gratitude to be a practice, a daily practice?
Sure. Well, one way to build accountability is to simply get an accountability partner, whether it's your romantic partner or a friend, someone that'll join you on the journey of developing the habit. And when working directly with someone, you can just make it a point to express gratitude or appreciation to that person for that person every day. And that'll help remind you, because if one of you forgets, somebody else can do it. Another way you can do it is to set up reminders. Either in your phone, you can have an alarm that goes off every day to remember to say thanks, or just establishing a practice that you tie into another habit. So a great way to develop a habit is to latch it onto another one. So if you have a habit of, you know, drinking a glass of water or most likely a cup of coffee in the morning, you'll say, okay, every morning when I drink a cup of coffee, I'm going to, you know, appreciate something. Or one of my favorite appreciation practices is what Jack Canfield would call a rampage of appreciation. So you could start off with something simple. There's really nothing too trivial to be thankful for. So you could start off with, I'm so grateful for this cup of coffee. Otherwise, I never would have gotten out of bed. And then you could go to, I'm so grateful for the people who packaged the coffee beans. I'm grateful for the people who worked at the store to sell me the coffee beans, and kind of go on that.
I like that.
And
I like that approach, because it seems like that's an easy way to kind of expand the scope of it and be a little more thoughtful about all the people that are putting effort into things that we perhaps take for granted in our lives.
Yeah, and it just makes it really easy to fall into that mode. You'll find yourself 3 minutes later, you're still going, and all of a sudden you're feeling better than that cup of coffee ever could have helped you with.
I like that very much. And in your work, and everybody head to kevinoberhausen.com and you can read about the work that he's doing and all that good stuff. But in your work, as you're meeting with clients, I think anecdotally we hear a lot like, oh, it seems hokey to do this, or I don't feel realistic when I'm practicing gratitude. Is that something that you see that kind of fades over time as people incorporate it, or is there a way to outthink that, or both?
Oh, it fades pretty quickly. I think it's actually pretty natural for people to appreciate what's around them. And with the hokey thing, that really falls out. I mean, with my work, I'm working with people who really are really dedicated to living a happy life, a joyful life, a successful life. And, you know, everyone really wants to live a life of joy and be happy. And this is really a shortcut to it. When you're in a mode of gratitude, when you're expressing gratitude, you instantly shift into a much lighter, much happier state. And, so this gets you there before you even get to what it is you're trying to achieve. And so when you start to find these shortcuts to feeling good, you don't worry about anything feeling hokey. You really worry about how good you feel.
Right, right. Which sounds like a good state to be in. So in addition to having like an accountability partner or setting a phone reminder, which I like that one a lot. What other things? Do you recommend things like journaling or, you know, meditation, things like that to bring into a practice of practicing gratitude?
Yeah, so there's a couple things. On the journaling aspect, one of my favorites, it's a favorite of my wife's as well, is what's called gratitude journaling. And for anybody who's really big on manifesting or the law of attraction or mindset, things like that, this practice really helps with it. And all you're simply doing is taking time to sit down and you journal about how grateful you are for having accomplished the thing that you want to do. So if my goal was to just keep it simple and quick, make $10 million, I would sit down and I would write about, oh, I'm so grateful. I just received my last, you know, $650,000 check. I'm so grateful for everyone who supported me getting here. I'm so grateful for the people that I got to work with. I'm so grateful that, you know, this person plugged me in here. And you just keep going. Again, this helps you bring you into that mode of allowance and really puts you into that place that you're trying to achieve. And another way that I'd like to share with people is using appreciation in your workplace, gratitude and appreciation in your workplace. And this can be twofold. One, it can help you to work more easily with others, especially those that you're having a challenge with. It can also help you to influence people, your boss or other higher-ups or whoever it is you're trying to schmooze. So with working better with others, if you're finding it to be a challenge to work with certain people, if you either out loud or in your head, if you feel hokey, start to express gratitude, this puts you in a mode of appreciation. And once you go into that mode of appreciation, you can't judge them. When you're in a mode of appreciation, you can't be mad at somebody. It's one or the other. So once you go in that mode of appreciation, you're now able to act from a much more genuine place. And when you start acting from that place, or as your previous guest said, it kind of gives a key of finding value in somebody else, and that helps with cooperation. It's exactly what it's going to do. It'll also help you to become more aware of the different opportunities that are in front of you. So while you guys are getting maybe a little tense, you start to lose the perception that'll help you find solutions. And when you shift into this gratitude, those solutions come much more quickly.
Oh, that's a really good point, because I really like what you're saying about how it's really one or the other, because that's completely logical, right? That you can't, if you're sitting there raging at your coworker or sitting there making up, you know, scenarios of horrible things befalling them, but suddenly you put yourself in a place of gratitude, I think it automatically would shift you to a much more compassionate point. These are all very good things. But everybody, head to kevinoberhausen.com. I will tweet out this link, and we will also have it on the podcast landing page on wgmradio.com. And you can read all about the work that he does with clients and all kinds of good stuff. Thanks so much for being with us tonight, Kevin.
Thank you, Amy.
All right, my friends, we're going to take a little break and then get you to news and short show tonight. So I'm going to turn things over here in just a bit to Kevin Powell, I believe, for Preps Plus Chicago here in just a bit on 720 WGN.